Ah, yes. I thought we might join our young friends, Bisky, Dwink and Humphrey, just to sort out Prince Gaunt's journal and find where he hid those precious jewels.
They gathered in the cellars to begin their research. Apart from the sounds of Corksnout and Gullub Gurpaw working amongst the barrels, it was relatively peaceful. Using a barrel head as a table, they sat near a forge, where the cellar keepers burnt all cask staves to make charcoal. It was pleasantly warm amidst the fragrant aromas of charred oak, October ale, maturing wines and fruit cordials. Abbot Glisson tossed Gaunt's journal to Bisky. It was an ordinary green-covered volume with an elaborate letter G written on it to denote its owner. The abbot shook his head.
I glanced through that during lunch. One thing's certain. Gaunt might have been the Prince of Mouse Thieves, but he was nowhere near as neat and concise as Lady Columbine. The whole thing's the frog's dinner. Just look at it.
With Dwink and Humphrey leaning over both his shoulders, Bisky did. At first he tried to study the notes carefully, but he ended up merely riffling through the worn and dog-eared pages.
I see what you mean, Father. How is any beast supposed to make tail or snout of this? It's a mess, a jumble of scribbles and silly little sketches.
Dwink took the book, opening it at the centre pages.
Ah, it's Hotchpotch, all right. But listen to this. Red and green, green and red. Gouged out of an idol's head. Spurned by flower, red and green, for the evil ye have seen. Where are they, four magic lights? Seek for them in vain, ye wights.
Samulus took the book.
I've read this bit a few times over the seasons. 'Tis one of the few bits that makes sense. At least it confirms that Prince Gaunt stole the stones and hid them. It also verifies Columbine's version of the story.
Humphrey stared hard at the words, rubbed his eyes and inquired.
How'd you make that out, Samulus?
It was Bisky who explained it to Humphrey.
Look at the line, spurned by flower red and green. Columbine is the flower. Red and green are the jewels. Remember what she said in her diary? Lady Columbine refused to take the stones from Gaunt, so he hid them.
Samulus glanced over at Bisky.
Well spotted, young'un. Do you see anything else there? Take your time. Go on. Study the book.
The abbot interrupted.
While you're searching, keep this in mind. It would be excellent if we stumbled immediately on where the stones are buried or hidden, but I don't think that will be the case. We know Gaunt's book is a mess of scribbles and sketches. None of them have much connection with the other. So I think the exact location of the four stones will come out in due course. However, first we must establish which area they would be in.
Dwink was frankly baffled.
What are you saying, Father?
He's saying, young sir, that you've got to find a rough location in the abbey or its grounds, maybe out in the woodlands or on the west flatlands. Find the approximate area. Do you see now?
They all turned to see Humphrey's grandfather, Corksnout, leaning on some kegs behind them. The giant cellar hog had been listening, as had his assistant, Gullub Gurpaw. Abbot Glisson bowed slightly.
Thank you, friend. Maybe you'd like to help out here. That's if you and Gullub aren't too busy with your cellar work.
The mole produced a tray, setting it down in front of them. On it were a few cheese wedges and a knife, three jugs and enough small sampling beakers to go around. He tugged his snout respectfully, as moles do.
Cousins would be delighted to join us, Herr Abbot. Mayhaps you uns could help us too.